In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts this morning in thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as you have again called us to this place, dear Father, we desire to thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in this temporal life wherein we dwell. We thank you, dear Father, for our homes and our families. We thank you for those dear escorts that you have given unto us to help us along this narrow pathway which leads to heaven's glory. But above all these things, dear Father, we desire to thank you for your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you saw it good right there from the beginning of time to send a Savior, your dear Son, into this world to save sin-fallen mankind. For this, dear Father, we thank you. We also ask, dear Father, that you would help us along this pathway to heaven. Give unto us that desire to continue to hold on to this precious gift that you have gifted unto us. Dear Father, continue to forgive us all our sinfulness. Dear Father, remember those who are experiencing difficulties in this life. Comfort and uplift them, that they too, even amidst their trials, can rejoice, for their names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Dear Father, we ask this morning for a service blessing. Give unto us words that we can hear, words that we can believe. Give us hearts to believe. All of this we ask in your dear Son's name, in Jesus' name, amen. We also, before we begin, dear brother and sister, have a wedding prayer. We have experienced many weddings in this congregation this year, and these are certainly a gift from God. But Todd Stewart and Tiffany Jankla will be joined in marriage here at Cokato Church on Saturday, the 29th of August, at 6 o'clock in the evening. Let us quieten in prayer on their behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, Thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant. Grant this couple one-mindedness in love, and make their home a Christian home. Amen. I thought for this morning's service, we would read a portion of God's holy and precious word that is found in the letter to the Hebrews in its 10th chapter. And we will read verses 19 through 25 in Jesus' name. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. In the beginning, dear brother and sister, I come with doubt and fear. And I ask that, can I have my sins and doubts forgiven? The theme for this Sunday is faithfulness in caring for God-given gifts. Dear brother and sister, there are many things that we have experienced in this life, many things that we have in this life. And all of these things that we have are certainly gifts from God, aren't they? But this theme that we have before us touches on a very, very special gift. That each of you who are believing own. It is this gift of faith that God has gifted unto each one of us. This gift of faith that we have is a gift that we have done nothing to earn. It truly is a gift. There are, when we think about a gift, many of us have received gifts temporally, haven't we? They have been nothing that we have earned, but they have been given to us by those who have given them. simply because they have wanted to gift them to us. In those gifts that we receive from those, it is our desire to take care of those gifts, and isn't it? This gift of faith is a miraculous gift. It is one of those gifts that man with human reason cannot even understand. But through believing, our sins forgiven, we are given that gift of the Holy Spirit, which opens to us that understanding, to understand God's holy will. It opens to us that understanding that this gift is this, simply a gift from God. This portion that we have before us, it encourages us to hold on to this precious gift that God has given us. It encourages us to take care of it. In the beginning of this portion of God's Word that we have before us, it speaks to us of Jesus, and in how that veil was rent. We remember the time of Jesus when He was here traveling on this earth, fulfilling God's law to the perfect letter. And we remember then on His final days where He was there on that cross. And when the day darkened, I think it was from the 6th to the 9th hour, went totally dark. And then we remember how that, as Jesus, I'm going to read that portion. It's in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And it says here, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." This is when that New Testament era began. When Jesus died on that cross. When that work of Jesus then started with that third person in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. This is how God does His work today. This is how He does His work through each one of you, dear brothers and sisters in faith. We own that gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God's power to forgive sins. May it be so that we use this gift, that we free from one another from the bonds of sin, This is our only hope to attain that those shores of heaven one day is by and through this faith that God has gifted us with. It is a precious gift. You dear, precious youth, you own the same gift. That the elders and your moms and dads own. Take care of it. Put those sins away when they beset. This text begins and says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. When I read this, it comes to my mind back in the Old Testament when it was, I believe, once a year when that high priest went into that holiest of holy temples to sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And they sacrificed different animals for different sins. And I don't know too much about that. But nevertheless, now, when Jesus died on the cross, that was past. And we have already spoken of that new way where that Holy Spirit dwells in God's kingdom, dwells in the hearts of men, where we are able to continue to free those from sin. It isn't of our own strength and power, is it? But it is by and through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. And this is how we believe. This portion of Scripture encourages us to draw near with a true heart. So, what does this mean? To draw near with a true heart. Dear brother and sister, you dear precious youth, it simply means that we continue to hold on to this gift of faith, in that we continue to beg for that grace that God has offering to us. Yes, we are sinners. We fall into sin daily, in thought and in word and in deed. But when believing this precious gospel, there is that desire in our hearts to do that which is right before God. God knows each one of us very, very closely. Of course He does. He created us. Without God, we wouldn't be here, would we? Without God, we certainly wouldn't have woken up this morning. It is God who gives us power and strength in all ways. And I think it's important that we remember this. This, when we think about the theme for this Sunday, faithfulness in caring for God's given gifts. So this Word of God that we have before us encourages us to continue on that pathway that leads to heaven's shore. It continues here. It says, "And let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Well, we know what this pure water is, don't we, dear brother and sister? It is that precious gospel. That gospel of the forgiveness of sins. That is how we are washed daily, by and through that precious gospel. And when we hear that gospel, it renews in us power to believe. And this power comes by and through believing that gospel. Dear brother and sister, when we think about this gift of faith, what is faith? I think it's in this letter to the Hebrews also that tells us what faith is. In this next chapter, in chapter 11, in the first verse, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So we could ask ourselves, what are we hoping for? We all know what we are hoping for. We're hoping one day to make it to the glory of heaven. Have we seen heaven? No, we haven't seen heaven. The Bible assures us that heaven is a place where we want to be, that we want to get to. That is what this faith is. We haven't seen heaven. We hold on to the promises of God, what He has promised us, that there is a better place waiting for us. God has set us here on this earth for a reason. To spread that good message of the gospel. To live our lives according to God's Word. So those on the outside of God's kingdom can find it. So I ask you, dear brother and sister, how important is it that we live our lives according to what Scripture teaches us? God has given us a duty here to spread the good message of the gospel. That's our purpose. How has it been? I think each of us, looking into our own sin-corrupt heart, can only hang our heads and say, "What a poor example I have been." Hold on to this gift, dear brother and sister. We heard last night at that wedding of what that first love should be. What is our first love, dear brother and sister? It needs to be God. Then everything else is added onto us. We need to continually seek God's kingdom. And it is our prayer for those on the outside of God's kingdom that they would seek for it. But we need to be reminded so often, because the daily rituals that we have, it slowly but surely wears on our hearts and dulls our conscience. That is why God's Word continually reminds us to seek for His kingdom. This needs to be our first priority when we wake up and remember that precious gift that God has given us. This gift of living faith. How important is it, as it says here, to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and washed with pure water? Dear brother and sister, you dear precious youth, do not tire of this gospel. Do not let the enemy of souls make it seem that this gospel is unimportant. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. The enemy of souls has his way of wearing on us. He wants to even preach to us that you don't need to go and gather around God's holy word, that you can still believe. What does God's word teach us? Faith cometh by hearing. This is why God's Word encourages us to gather around His holy and precious Word. We were visiting last night around our table about this very thing, where it seems that this gathering around God's holy and precious Word has maybe become where it is something that has been put on the back burner, that isn't as important as it once was. And this dear mother that was talking was even saying about how sometimes it feels like at home to just, we'd be better off just leaving the kids at home, because they might be causing a ruckus. Or I encourage that dear mother, bring your children whenever there is a gathering. This is how we teach our children. Dear brother and sister, you dear precious mothers and fathers, do not tire in this work. But rather, when those doubts and fears come upon you, put them away with the blood of Christ.
This way this gift of faith remains so special. It is such a special gift we have. And we will understand fully when we can lay down this travel staff. When we attain that glory of heaven. It pays to believe, dear brother and sister. Even now you can uplift your hearts and believe all of your sins and doubts. Those fears forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Continue to pray to God that you will have this desire. God gives us that desire when we are endeavoring and battling against sin. Putting sin away when it besets. This word encourages us this. And it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. God is faithful. God has promised that He will lift and He will carry. And this is how it is, dear brother and sister. We do. It is a battle. We go from victory to victory. Yes, we fall into sin. Do we want to fall into sin? No, we don't want to fall into sin. This is the heart of a believer. That we don't want to fall into sin. That we don't readily go and do sin. This kind of heart. That we are just going out and living our lives. The way the world lives. Is not the heart of a believer. But it is a battle. And may it continue to be a battle. Because if it's no longer a battle, has the enemy won over us? I would say yes, he has. It's been a battle from the beginning, dear brothers and sisters. But it is a good battle. The reward that awaits us is so precious. When we get there, we won't want to return here. I will assure you of that. That's why God's Word here encourages us, hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold on to it tightly. How do we do this? By simply putting sin away when sin besets. When we do this, then that inward desire is, of course, to come and gather around God's holy Word. The enemy of souls doesn't want us to. Of course he doesn't. Because he knows that's where the power and strength comes from. Faith comes by hearing. It's so simple. But the enemy wants to muddy the waters, doesn't he? He wants us to make everything else much more important. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We want to encourage one another. You dear youth, if you're there doing whatever you're doing, and then there's going to be a gathering of God's holy congregation, encourage one another to come. It is a good habit to get into, to come to the hearing of God's Word. As it continues, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Yes, we are one day closer, aren't we? Each day that passes, we are one day closer to that heavenly goal. We will make it, dear brother and sister. Because this portion of God's Word says God is faithful. But what is required of us? Simply to believe the gospel. And when we believe in this way, the shores of heaven are open. It pays to believe. Uplift your hearts and believe. All your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We have been given such a great gift. A gift that we certainly don't want to take for granted. Because the enemy of souls wants to grab that gift from us. We need to remember, the enemy knows what it's like there in heaven. And that is his purpose. But dear brother and sister, the enemy was crushed. Jesus is much more powerful than the enemy. All that is required of us is to believe. And when we believe this gospel from the heart, it renews in us a new heart. That strength and power is renewed to battle against sin. That's how it is. It is a battle. And it is a good battle. It pays to believe, dear brother and sister. The reward that awaits us is so great. In Jesus' name and always blessed name, amen. Let us quiet in our hearts in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.